looking for partnerships and want to come and help, and I put up to him, one of the guys who's with the guy.
Thank you.
In Florida, they've been working there for him.
You were on this road?
Right here. Right here, it'd be great, I think all of y'all know Big Cumbie, he's a good partner with like two grand more.
How's everyone today? Does he want to hand that?
Yes.
Tell him.
Hey, how are you?
Thank you.
How are you?
Good trouble.
Good to see you. You doing all right? How you doing today?
I'm good, thank you.
Good morning.
At least for a little while.
Oh, good to see you.
Doing all right?
How are you?
Doing fine.
Good morning. There you go.
Yeah.
Good to see you, you doing all right? How's you?
Sir?
I'm good. Somebody else anymore? It just says stack here and there are many. As long as I didn't hit mine out, I think we'll be okay. All right.
Go ahead, yeah.
In terms of the timing, I know.
Go ahead and shoot it on that farm.
Anybody else on the back row need one of this?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, okay.
Oh, they've got.
Thank you, all right. I wasn't sure who I'll need one or one of them.
Just go ahead.
Okay. As I recall, about 20 minutes or so in terms of my presentation, hopefully we didn't take that long. Since we all know each other, you know our firm. And certainly I'd say, feel free to ask questions throughout, if you're going to take time at the end to do that. But if I say something or you need clarification, feel free to ask me and I'll answer it at that point in time. I've handed out everybody kind of a re-summarization of our technical proposal. I think you've been provided with a technical proposal that we submitted back on March 16th. I'm hoping that this will be the one that actually walks you through and provides guidance in terms of some of the things. A lot fewer pages here, but hopefully all the key points are articulated. So if you will, follow with me. The agenda really on page 2, discussion about our firm, about Grant Thornton, our commitment to the government sector, the specifics of our engagement team, our plan in terms of our specific approach to the authority, the approach, how we provide professional services, and then talk a little bit about the Grant Thornton difference. And I want to say thanks really on behalf of our firm for giving the opportunity to re-propose. We think it's been a great relationship and a great opportunity to work with a great organization for the past 5 years. Obviously, our hope is that we get to continue forward with you in the next contract period. But thanks for really your commitment to us in the past and allowing us to serve your organization. Page 3, our firm. A lot of information here. Frankly, there's a lot of statistics. Obviously, we've been around for a while. We're 50 cities now throughout the United States. Over 24,000 clients throughout the world, almost 6,000 professionals now. And you'll see some stats there in terms of the Grant Thornton International, our international firm, as well as Grant Thornton in the United States. Last year was a significant year for us in that we did cross the $1 billion mark in revenues last year in the United States for the first time. And I've been with the firm now a little over 5 years, and when I started, it was $246 million. So we've had a lot of growth over the last 5 years, and certainly a lot of that's been market-driven. Sarbanes-Oxley has a lot of things to do with that, and really the ability of the firm to establish industry practices, including government, on a very widespread basis, has led to some market revenue growth. Page 4 talks about our vision. Everybody has a vision, everybody's got a mission. Ours, we think, is clear, which is what we're talking about here. You might know there's an extra R down there in terms of taking responsibility for our actions, but we really think through global collaboration as an international firm, that we, through a single point of contact, through your engagement team, through me specifically as the partner, we try to demonstrate leadership in all we do. We certainly try to provide a culture of excellence. We take great pride in the work that we do and the service that we provide to our clients. I want to continue to do that. Certainly today's economy with everything going on, acting with agility is certainly key. We believe that we do that and have a deep respect for our people. Our people, including our clients, everybody that we interact with is very important to us. Obviously, we're hired by and report to the board and the audit committee. By the same token, it doesn't mean we have to have an adversarial relationship with management. So we have to have deep respect for all people we work with. And then taking responsibility for our actions. I think in today's environment, courts are probably than ever. There are challenges. The accounting rules and the auditing rules never get simpler. They only get more complex. As things change, we have difficulties in the economy. So certainly we're up to that in terms of our firm and our service capability. Page 5, long list of services that we provide to different government organizations. The first one probably most important to you in terms of this particular procurement, but obviously performing financial compliance on something we've done for a long time, and certainly serving this sector is extremely important to us. Page six. I have to work out good for this particular organization. You got the B, first one on the list, and I like to say, obviously, from my client's perspective, all of our clients are important, and certainly this one is as important, if not more important. For those of you that were around 5 years ago, I just transitioned from Anderson. Unfortunately, the firm collapsed and wouldn't have any ability to work there anymore, so I had to find another place, and actually went to KPMG in the transition. I was there about 16 months and had continuous interaction with the folks at Grant Thornton, so we really want to get committed to the government sector in Texas, and they really tapped me as the guy to do that. Fortunately, with very little experience through the firm in terms of Texas at that time, but with the depth of experience on my resume, I came to Grant Thornton. And this particular organization, Treasury Authority, was the first government that we engaged. And so, obviously, there's a fond spot in my heart for you guys because of that. And then, fortunately, as you've seen, we've continued to add. And this is a pretty good list. Obviously, you see a lot of cities on here. Certainly, we don't have water authorities. City of San Antonio, one we're doing currently, is a separate organization legally in terms of their water service. But we've got a lot of familiarity with governments. Certainly, those that are involved in this business and our relationship with you guys have provided some great opportunities to frankly expand our government services practice, and we thank you guys for that.
Yes, sir. Where are you from?
I'm from the Dallas office.
Is that where you're homegrown?
I live in Aubrey. Actually, it's about an hour north of Dallas, but technically, even though I serve the region, really, we split the United States up into five regions, but I live in Dallas area.
Where are you from?
Right. That's the home office.
I think he's asking where you were born.
Well, where was I born? I'm sorry. I was born and raised in Amarillo.
Okay.
And then went to school. Love it. Love it, Christian, initially. And then after I injured my arm and changed majors from baseball to accounting, I decided to shift down the road to Texas Tech.
Good college.
And then finished up there.
Good college. Yeah.
Did you go to Amarillo or Texas
Tech? I went to Amarillo High.
Did you have Mrs. K?
You know, I certainly know that name.
Science and biology.
Okay, I don't remember having her directly. No, it's, and actually my parents still live there. They've been there 47 years now, so a lot of strong ties. You know, back to Amarillo, certainly to Lubbock in that area. So anyway, thanks to you guys. And again, hopefully we go and throughout this process is to keep you guys on the top of our client list and hope that we can do that. Next page, page seven. You know, obviously we're ready to serve you. We feel like we've done a good job in serving the organization the last 5 years. We believe we're qualified in this sector. We'd like to think we're very accessible, including me personally. I'd like to think that whenever John, Matt, anybody else needs to talk to somebody or firm, they call me, right? I'd like to think I'm back to them as quick as I can be. We've got a lot of experience, as I mentioned, in the sector. Your primary engagement team has over 50 years of experience. Unfortunately, almost half that's mine. As I get more experience in this, 22 years, almost 23 now for me. But I've got very senior people in the concurring partner role, Angie Dunlap, who's been in that role now for a couple of years, and then obviously John Deesa, who serves as the manager, and Jennifer Bellows. We would anticipate trying to bring back the same team unless any of those people decide to leave the firm. I'm not planning to leave. I may get fired in the next couple of weeks, but I'm not planning to leave in the next cycle. We're supported by various local and regional personnel that are also committed to this industry.
How many people you bring in? Three?
We have, well, I'm the partner, and then Angie Dunlap is the concurring partner, so she's really the second partner on the engagement. Mm-hmm. We have a manager, John Deesa, who actually serves as the engagement manager. Jennifer Bellows is our senior. She's the one that's out here every day, and then we usually have two other staff that are staff with her. And so, Angie, John. Usually six people in total. You know, certainly get in terms of all aspects of retirement as well. And a few of us pictures on the next page and some references. Obviously it's more fully explained in our technical proposal, but I would serve as an engagement partner. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if you guys decided that it made sense to transition partner, I'd be more than happy to trade roles with Andy if you thought that was appropriate in circumstances. We don't have a policy within the firm that requires us to change personnel on the engagement. Obviously, the public company arena, there are rules on that. We have a cooling off period with engagement partner. So it's not required in this industry, but fortunately, I have another partner in the practice I hired a couple of years ago. She was actually in Anderson a few years ago, went to KPMG and certainly now Grant Thornton. She does a lot of work, including City of San Antonio, as one that she serves as a partner in the City of Plano. And so we think with two partners, it's a good approach. Obviously, we have concurrent partner requirements on certain engagement. This would be one because of your receipt of federal financial awards and you're subject to A133. Our firm requires us to have two partners on engagement, a primary engagement partner and a second concurrent review partner. And then John Deesa, John actually was on the manager on this particular engagement last year for the first time. He also serves as engagement manager on City of Dallas, City of San Antonio, and City of Irving. So he's got a wealth of experience. And then Jennifer Bellows, Jennifer's actually worked on this engagement now for 3 years. So we think, you know, certainly at the top levels, having continuity makes sense. We tend to rotate staff on the engagement. We think it's always a good idea to have a fresh perspective of ideas. And so the people that are actually on the ground doing the work tend to rotate through, and usually at the staff level, that's where we have you know, different people in the view of the organization. On page 9, first point, really our knowledge gained by serving as your honors the past few years, hopefully continue to result in effective, efficient audits. We think having great knowledge of a client's organization, their business practices, their controls, we think that's important to performing effective and efficient audits. So we think we have a little bit of a head start over our peers with respect to that. Obviously, we take great pride in delivering attentive service. It's all about client service, even in the business of doing audits. It's important to be engaged by boards and audit committees, understand the risk of the organization, meet with them periodically, certainly the committee before and after the audit, before to discuss the audit plan, get your input, solicit your advice, and then subsequently after the audit's completed to communicate the results of the audit and anticipate continuing to do that. Personal attention, we think, is important, including the partner. You know, sitting something I sell and hand off to somebody else to go do it and pretend whatever he's done is something that's been, you know, pride in. And actually, one of the reasons that I left Big Five was to actually be able to spend more time with clients. I'm doing server clients and actually being on site. And so, certainly, the personal attention you've received from me personally, as well as the rest of my team in the past, we commit to doing in the future. Best practices recommendations, we like to think that we add some value to the process. We know we cause a few headaches as we go through the audit. For John, Matt, and Jim, and others, but by the same token, we think it's a valuable service that we provide, and hopefully as part of that, we can provide recommendations to strengthen controls and enhance your business operations. So hopefully we've done it, that's we're committed to doing that in the future. And frankly, you know, we're committed to exceeding your expectations. That's what we get made by, and we want to continue to do that, and developing productive and long-term relationships with quality organizations like this one, that's certainly part of the goal. Page 10, to not spend a whole lot of time since you're familiar with the firm and familiar with me, but the fully integrated audit approach and methodology, obviously it's a comprehensive planning process. In today's environment, nothing stays the same. I think we all know that. Certainly we're in very unique times and the impact that it has on each of us personally as well as organizationally, how we address those, understand those risks, how they impact you, how it translates into financial statements and how we perform. We do evaluate all of those factors. Document the testing controls. Again, it's not a public company arena in terms of Sarbanes-Oxley and 404. By the same token, because we perform the A133 audit, we do have to report on controls. We don't have to opine on them. We have to report on those. And therefore, we do document and test your internal controls as required by the standards. One thing that I think is very different in terms of our firm and our approach is that we use computer data acquisition analysis on a very extensive basis. I've never felt comfortable kind of looking at 25 transactions, being able to draw a conclusion for an organization that's as complex and sophisticated as this one, some of the ones we deal with. So one of the things we do is use computer data acquisition analysis to evaluate your disbursements as well as your payroll. I mean, if you look at most organizations, most fraud risks reside with their payments. Okay? Misappropriation of assets is the most significant fraud risk. So we spend a lot of time analyzing data on a 100% basis, looking for exceptions with respect to disbursements and payroll. And we commit to continue that, even though certainly in my mind and most firms aren't providing that. It's not required as part of the external audit process, but we think it's an important differentiator for us and our firm. And then communicating and understanding the accounting, regulatory, and reporting concerns specific to the authority. If we come up with things that we believe are significant based on accounting changes, things that are going to be required to be new, it's certainly our responsibility to talk to John, Matt, and others to ensure they're aware of those things. And obviously, I encourage them to do the same thing. If they go to training course, they hear something that's relevant to their organization, they want to get our thoughts about that. I think it's important to have that two-way exchange. Page 11, customized audit approach. Every organization is different. We don't use the same work program for all. I hope it works. This is one we tailored to your organization specifically and executed according to our plan. I mentioned the extensive partner manager involvement, having people that are involved have years of experience in this industry, it's important to have them actively involved and on the team. Utilization of industry experienced staff. Fortunately, one of the things that's changed over the last 5 years as we've grown as a firm is we've been able to establish a specialized industry practice where I don't have a person that only works on one government job per year, and that's your engagement. I've got people that actually work in the industry now. Now that we've got a sizable industry, we actually have people that are committed to the industry at all levels. And then practical management advisory comments, again, hopefully that's a value add that we can bring recommendations and ideas that we see in other organizations, best practices maybe we're seeing for other governments, and utilize, try to make those recommendations here. Page 12, plan for the authority. Obviously, the kickoff meeting to solidify the timeline, engaging in, certainly work with management to make sure the timeline's consistent when they think they'd be ready for audit. Obviously, we anticipate meeting with this committee in advance of the audit. I think it's a good thing to do. Solicit your input, get your advice, talk about key current year events. Those kinds of things are all important. We do perform a risk-based audit, risk-based approach, which means we focus on the high-risk, high-dollar, high-volume transaction areas. That's what we've done in the past, and we anticipate continuing to execute the audit based on the plan, then communication can never be overstated. Very important. The primary means for that communication, obviously, is in-person involvement, being involved on the ground. We do that through weekly status meetings. I schedule one day a week during the audit to really come down and spend the day trying to perform my review. Obviously, a lot of the financial reporting information review of CAF, or special needs review of mine, is done off-site. But for the most part, we like to review in the field, have discussions within the field, have weekly status meetings with the client, make sure things are proceeding smoothly, make sure they're able to let us know if there's anything on their side that we need to know about, and vice versa. We think the grand important difference is really something that we can articulate. We do think, obviously, partners are empowered and engaged, and that's how we service our clients. Decision-making process that is efficient and clear, so we like to make sure it's communicative, as I've talked about, but also making sure that as we make decisions, those are sound based on all the facts and circumstances. Operating model that's weighted with experience. You know, there's no substitute for experience in this business. Government's unique organizations. Every government is not the same. They're all unique. They all have their complexities. It's important to operate and evaluate the audit plan in that light. I mentioned the global organization. My last two single point of contact for me as the partner, as well as engaging with him and serving you through our international umbrella, and the value for fees. You know, hopefully, we think as we put the fee estimate together, one thing we tried to do is be sensitive to the environment. So basically, I kept the fee flat, the same fee that we had last year for our proposal for the first year. And I believe it had a 2% increase year two, maybe three, and year three, and then four, and in years four and five. So I'm trying to be sensitive. All organizations are impacted in some manner. So we believe we've provided a hugely beneficial fee, but certainly if you don't think that's the case, we'd be happy to talk about it. Page 14, in terms of conclusion, I'm very excited about the opportunities. I mentioned you guys have been a great client of mine personally, as well as the firm for 5 years. We hope to continue that. We believe we have the capability and industry experience to continue to serve you and serve you well. That's our intention. That's our hope. Communication, obviously we do. That has to be part of it, whether it's a marriage relationship, not a relationship, it has communication. Sound accounting and auditing expertise, what you hire us to provide. We intend on providing that. Honesty and integrity. I haven't been involved with an organization that became the Titanic and hit the iceberg. You know, there is no substitution for being honest and having integrity in our approach, and certainly we're intent on doing that. It's our job to identify risk and issues, work through those, execute the audit plan. And we believe, you know, through our past experience in serving you the last 5 years, we have unmatched knowledge of your organization. We think that continues to allow for an effective and efficient audit, and again, as I mentioned, by fees. So with that, hopefully, actually did quicker than the 20 I hoped for. And part of that certainly was not my West Texas upbringing, because I've learned to talk fast at one thing since I've left Amarillo. But I do want to open it up for questions at this point. Yes, sir.
I've got a few questions I'd like to start off with.
You bet.
Can you give me a concise statement of the major reason why we should be taking you again?
You bet. I'll make this as concise as I can. And I think at this point in time, I think we're the most experienced service provider in this industry, in this marketplace. I think the resources we provide are unequaled at this point. I think we've actually surpassed in terms of clients we're seeing on a very broad basis, even the Big Four. And certainly two of those were well in advance of the other two. I think we're probably in the same everything. I think the computer data acquisition analysis I mentioned, using 100% of your transactions, downloading those, and looking for exceptions, both in terms of disbursements as well as payroll. Like for instance, looking for matching addresses between employees and vendors, see if an employee may have set themselves up with a fictitious vendor. That's not required in the audit standards, but we think it's an important service to provide. We think that differentiates it, but I'm not being concise, but there's a couple of things I think that I think that at least initially, probably others, but does that answer your question? But if not, we have to expand.
Do you foresee any new accounting issues that could affect the DRA in the next few years?
You know, GASB continues to be active. I'm actually doing a presentation at Ojibwe's National Conference this summer, and it deals with the COSO monitoring aspect. Committee of Sponsoring Organizations deal with controls. That's going to change. The GASB standards continue to come out. We're up to, I believe, 54 now. So, you know, GFOA's saying, what have we gotten into here? And they're certainly kind of disputing some of the things that GASB's coming up. But some of that service efforts and accomplishments, a lot of people believe that's new budgetary information on not financial reporting. But for the most part, I think, you know, at least in the, you know, we dealt with GASB 34 several years ago. Most of the significant ones have been dealt with in the past. There are going to continue to be new accounting standards that come out. In my mind, probably for this organization, a lot of that's going to be minor changes, some additional disclosure, a little bit of accounting financial reporting changes, but not real significant. There's always a chance that, you know, other things come out that are going to cause us, you know, if they ever said Sarbanes-Oxley is now required for all governmental organizations and additional public companies, I hope they don't do that, but by the same token, that can certainly change. But nothing on the front. I mean, obviously, these changes are going to continue to happen. Auditing changes, SAS 104 through 111, we actually implemented those last year. That really expanded, I'm going to say, by about 10% the level of effort that was required. It talks really more to the risk-based approach and how you document that, how we physically and in the work papers document our assessment of risk in the organization. And that was 104 through 111. 112 we dealt with the year before. 114 was effective last year. So it's probably a suite of about 8 to 9 auditing standards that have come through that have impacted, you know, the service we provide, what we're required to do in the past. I can only envision with what's going on with the current economy, certainly in the financial sector, as well as others, that there will be additional auditing standards that will be added. They'll never get subtracted. That's the one thing we can almost guarantee is that auditing, you never subtract procedures, you only add to those. And I think as sophisticated as businesses have become, as complex as some of the fraud schemes have become, that we can expect additional changes in the auditing.
Okay. Can you tell me what advantage your firm brings compared to other firms and the importance to them with authority? I think you answered that with my first question.
Well, if I did, I mean, I think I did, but if I did, I really think it's that. I mean, we're committed to this industry. It's 100% of my time. The people that work in my group, it's a very significant portion of their schedule. The data acquisition analysis that we do, you know, we think that's an extensive differentiator. Having knowledge of your organization for the last 5 years, I think differentiates us from others. And then certainly our commitment to client service and how we evaluate our services that we provide to organizations, we help these different. And partner manager involvement, I'm going to say that again, because I do think that having personal involvement by the people that are on top of the food chain in your audit is an important differentiator.
Okay. Do you have any experience dealing with the Sunset Commission process or with the state auditor? Any suggestions or experience of how to be driving?
Yeah. Fortunately, I can say it's not real extensive experience. I am obviously familiar with the process. People that have been involved, I've been involved with the state auditor's office for years, actually not only in Texas, but also in Arkansas. We were in the state of Arkansas audit for a number of years when I was involved with KPMG. Without getting into the specifics, bottom line is what our approach is ultimately to do what's best for our clients and our clients' organization, know that they're impacted by other things that happen. To the extent that there was involvement by the state auditor, we worked with them in the past, we know how they operate. Actually, Craig Kenton, who's now the city auditor at City of Dallas, was involved in the state auditor's office for years. I know him very well. He's one of my clients currently. We've talked about a number of things, including that. And we're very open. And John and I have actually had some preliminary communications on that. To the extent that they need access to our work papers and want to review things to avoid duplicative nature of what we're doing, you know, we're always hopeful and helpful in the process. And that's our intention. Haven't been involved with an organization that's actually.
But not really involved with Sunset.
No, not certainly in terms of as that term, as you're using it in terms of an organization, but we have not.
Okay. During the economic downturn, shareholder lawsuits are already being brought against some accounting firms due to accusations of negligent accounting practices. What impact might this have on your firm and reputation?
You know, fortunately for us, And this was probably one of the surprises I had when I came from the Big Five, Big Four environment, because I was surprised how little litigation we actually had against us. Certainly, we've had a few on an international basis, REFCO, New York, but very small in terms of numbers. We have our executive session, our partner meetings. We only have a couple of cases that are there. Certainly, Billy, I think the reality of it is it's a litigious society, and it's going to continue to be. Anytime you have economic downturns and companies don't survive, a lot of times fingers get pointed to our profession, the auditors. All we could do is exercise our professional responsibilities to perform whatever audit procedures we feel are necessary in our professional opinion to conduct quality audits. And the quality light has never burned brighter. The looks over our shoulder has never been as significant as they are. But our mentality is that you always have to do the right thing in all cases. And if you do that, defend your work, your documents work adequately, we make sure we perform quality audit procedures we think will take the firm. That's our intent.
Have you had any, because most of the suits that I'm familiar with have been brought by the for-profit
yes.
entities. Has Grant Thornton, that you know of, had any claims brought by any governmental entities?
I'm not aware of any. And of course, I'm not responsible for any national practice, but I'm not aware of any. You know, we do a lot of government consulting too, and so I'm never really as sure on that side of the fence. It doesn't seem to be as much, but I'm not aware of any government cases of any significance. You know, fortunately for the industry, you know, there's not a bunch that's out there. Most governments, frankly, unless they default on their debt, usually don't have as bright light shine as you would for a public company where it's got, you know, stock values and fluctuations and kind of how that happens. I understand there was a recent, I think the SEC is investigating the North Texas Tollway Authority. Apparently there's a restatement going on there with another firm. So, you know, there are some investigations that are ongoing. I'm not aware of anything against the firm, but I know that, you know, we're not immune from that. But it's certainly diminished, as you mentioned, Peter, in the public sector versus what you see with for-profit public companies.
Any other questions?
Yes, you mentioned with all the changes that are going on with GASB. Who keeps up with that?
Well, within the firm, we actually have a professional standards group. Ours is based regionally, but being one of the regional leaders, I'm actually responsible for government as well as not-for-profit changes, including any new pronouncements and also any changes in auditing requirements. But I have a professional standards group that tracks it for all industries, whether it's FASB, GASB, ASCPA, whatever changes, they're responsible for that. And we have training and education to make sure we're all aware of those changes.
One that was brought to our attention was GASB 49,
uh-huh.
pollution and remediation. You have people looking at that, and do you think that might affect BRA?
I think you guys, in terms of our past discussion, I think there'll be some impact there. In terms of our most recent discussion, unless something's changed, I don't think it was anticipated being that significant for you guys. It certainly will have an impact to the extent you fall, which you do under that standard, if you have significant, you know, pollution remediation obligations and the vehicles required for that disclosure. But my discussion with Matt Jones, unless something's changed, that you guys don't have significant exposure in that area, at least currently.
Okay.
One of the things that I noticed, just a side technical question.
Okay.
Everybody's making fun of the military and the engineer for the acronyms they come up with. I think that the auditors have passed that.
Put us at the top of that list.
Getting up there with the environmental folks.
Any other questions? Thank you very much for coming. We appreciate your presentation.
Thanks again. I appreciate the opportunity. And frankly, I'll say this, not knowing how this process turns out, regardless of how it turns out, we appreciate the opportunity to work with the organization for the last 5 years. Hopefully we'll get to continue, but if not, thanks again for the opportunity.
Thank you.
We'll stay in touch.
Let's take about a 10-minute break.
Have a lunch break.
Oh, let's take a lunch break.
Wow. Hey, that's good.